Aren't you glad that we can reach out and touch them? Amen. You know, I love youth meetings and being a part of them, though I am getting to that age now that a lot of the people I grew up in youth camp with have children. And I've seen one couple this weekend I have not seen in a very long time. The reason I realized that, because they have three kids, and I said, last time I seen you, you had a baby. I said, which one was that? And they pointed to a 14-year-old, and I said, oh, no. I'm getting that old. Amen. And it is amazing as life just seems to fly by. And again, I love watching children worship God. You know, I look back and there's something beautiful about the innocence of children. They don't get caught up in all that other stuff. Amen. Us humans and adults sometimes, we can come into church so laden down with care, so much on our minds, and almost be complaining too much in our hearts that we really do miss out when Jesus is moving. Amen. But I love to see little kids and children worship the Lord and sing from their hearts. I'm going to visit some familiar verses of Scripture with you. I don't claim tonight to have anything that you've never heard before by way of Scripture. And how many believes it's all right to hear something from the Bible several times? This is one book you'll read your whole entire life, and God will have us often to revisit verses and things. But I want to talk to you about those verses about being more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And I like what one writer said one time, this means to be a super conqueror. Amen. More than. You got conquerors, then you got those that are more than a conqueror. Amen. And if you look there, and you would, if you would, in your Bibles, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. We're going to read all those verses. Familiar. Again, you could quote most of it, I believe. And again, we may have mentioned these things here before, but it's just been on my heart as here recently, and thought I'd share it with you here tonight. Let us know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. From whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, notice this, that loved us. Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness here today. Thank You, Lord, for Your traveling mercies, Your blessing on the services this weekend, God, and Your blessings right here at Abundant Life Tabernacle this morning for helping Brother Shane as he ministered here to this congregation. But we're back together as a church family, Lord, and we want to preach what You've laid on our hearts. We want to minister to this church. God, be with us and help us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Reading through these verses, I kind of went back and looked at some commentaries and things that have been written about this here recently. And I like what some have referenced these verses that I just read to you. Some of them call this a hymn of assurance. Others call it a triumph song. And another writer said this is the highest plateau in the whole of divine revelation. And what they are referring to is that as you read these verses, it is full of victorious words, if you would. It's a charge that you and I should have great levels of assurance in our life when it comes to serving the Lord. And as we looked at these verses here tonight, what I find so interesting, and some of these verses you would understand if you've studied through them before, there's a lot of people that wrestle with some of its context. You see words like predestinate and foreknow and there's so much debate around those verses, to the place sometimes that some preachers just don't preach it because they're afraid of sounding like a Calvinist or saying that God's predestinated this one to heaven and predestinated that one to hell or something like that. But I tell you here tonight, we can read through these verses and understand it very plainly here tonight that God has foreknown us. He is God. He is outside of time. He is not limited like you and I by time, and God in His sovereignty has been able to look down the corridors of time before time ever was and was able to see who and what and how it's going to happen. I'm not boring you here tonight or tax the mind trying to work through those thoughts and all of that, but I can guarantee you this here tonight, if you are saved, if you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, God foreknew the day that you would get born again. Before you knew about it, He knew that He would afford or He would give you the invitation to come. He knew if you would accept. He knew all of these things. He even knows the end from the beginning. He knows all these things. Amen. Why? We should have no other. You don't need any other reason right there, but to trust Him and know that the very one that has laid the foundations, who foreknew even Calvary and all of these events, knows what's going to take place in your life. So I would encourage you here tonight to simply trust Him. He knows about everything you will ever face. He knows about any sickness you will ever get. He knows about any tragedy that you will ever stand against. And again, I'm not going to tax the mind of working through that, but I would have you encouraged here tonight that He has told us that all things work together for good. This is not just to anybody. This is not out there to the world, but to them that love God and them who are called according to His purpose. Again, think about that. Those that love God. Do you love God here tonight? Have you set your affection on the Son of God? Then you have this assurance, Brother Lee, that no matter if you go through cancer, you have this assurance. Even if you have a loved one that dies, whatever it is, even you have situations in life and people that let you down, that God can work it out for your good. Brother Shane did a wonderful job yesterday morning at that youth meeting, preaching about Joseph. And my, what an example that he said, look, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. Even when humanity means something for evil, even if you are to be persecuted and cast into a pit, I believe God can take even the most dire of circumstances and He can mean it for your good in your life. I take assurance in that if I go through something, God's got a purpose. If God permits it, there's a purpose, and I can have that assurance in my life. Amen. But what I want you to notice here tonight, and as we may have mentioned before in some way or some form, I'm just going to walk through these verses with you. We know that we have this blessed assurance that God is on our side. If you notice there, if you have your Bibles open, you don't have to turn there, but starting in verse 31, going all the way down to 39, you have several questions that are listed there, and it's almost rhetorical questions, almost the type of question that you should know the answer to. That's what a rhetorical question is. You are asked the question, it's almost like common sense. Let me give you a rhetorical question. Can Derek Jones fly? And the answer would be
How do you know that? Common sense. I don't have wings. I'm not Superman, but my daughter thinks I'm Superman, but you know I'm not, and I know I'm not. I cannot fly. That's a rhetorical question. So the Bible does this at times. It mentions something in a rhetorical fashion for you to kind of have basic common sense that, hey, I know how to answer this question. Verse 31, notice what it says. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, if we were just to look at the last part of that question, who can be against us? Just omit the first part. How many knows there's a lot of things against us? The world, the flesh, the devil, COVID, cancer, a lot of things stack against us in this life. A lot of things we don't see coming. A lot of things that seem to be bombarding us. But notice the first part that really changes it all. If God be for us, who can be against us? Like what one writer said about this, he said, imagine you have one of them old balance scales. You know, you kind of put something on this end and it tips that side, or you put something on this side and it tips it. It's how they would balance things and measure things. He said, imagine if you put a bunch of peanuts over here and these are all your problems, and you take a giant steel anvil over here and you drop it on this side of the scale. What do you think is going to happen to that side of the scale? I mean, it's going to fly up and all the peanuts are going to fall off. He said, much like that, when God's on your side, the scale is tilted to your favor. Everything's going to work out in life. Amen. I would you have that in your heart here tonight, because I know we face things sometimes and it almost feel like it's going to tip the scales in the direction of our adversary, or tip the scales in the other direction. But notice this, God is for us. He's on my side. I don't have to worry about anything else in this world. I don't have to worry about all the circumstances that may catch me unaware, whatever it may be. When God is for me, the question is, who can be against us? You could go all through the Old Testament and get shouting happy about these things. I mean, it's Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt versus Israel and no army, but they got a God. And guess who's going to win the battle? God is for them. Egypt cannot be against them. You can be Joshua about to go into the new promised land there. And guess what? When God's on your side, it doesn't matter how thick Jericho walls are. When God is for you, who can be against you? Brothers and sisters, get that in your heart. Amen. When you're going through your daily life, remind yourself of this. Write this verse down and remind yourself, if God be for us, who can be against us? Even though we be like Jacob at times in Genesis 42 and 36, and we say, all these things are against me. All these things are against me. It's coming against me. You could be like Paul and Silas in jail. Look at all that is against them. But when God is on your side, who can be against you? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? It's not for your glory or my glory, but it's that God gets to glory when he stands up and he fights the battles in our lives. Verse 32 asks some more questions. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Now we do this, and the Bible does this at times. It argues from the lesser to the greater. You remember the Sermon on the Mount? When it's talking about anxiety and worry, and there it kind of goes from the lesser to the greater. It says, hey, Jesus would say, you know, if God cares for the birds, lesser, he's going to care for you, the greater. If God clothes the lilies of the field, lesser, how much should you and I have the confidence that if God cares about birds and if God cares about flowers, things that are here today and gone tomorrow, if he cares about those things, how much more does he care for you? He argues from the lesser to the greater. And so we come here to Romans 8 and 32, and it's the same thing, lesser to the greater. If he spared not his own son, just in case you are wondering in your heart and you are wondering in your mind, I wonder how much God cares. I wonder how much God will give us when we need this. I need comfort. I need grace. I need mercy. I need a miracle. I need direction. I need comfort. Whatever it is, whatever it is in your life. And you may say, Lord, will God give me that? Will God give me direction? Will God give me mercy? What I would have you to do is argue from the greater to the lesser. I would have you to look at the cross, look at a bleeding and a dying Savior, and come to this conclusion: if God would do that for me, won't He give me what I have need of in this life? See, sometimes we go without because we are not convinced of the mercy and the grace and the kindness of God. If He gave us His only begotten Son, I would rest assured here tonight, He'll give me everything I need to make it to the other side. If He sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary, if Jesus Christ would leave the portals of glory and come down and robe Himself in flesh and go to a cross for you and I, how much more should you and I understand this? He will freely give us all things. See, the enemy would have us question the character of God. It's what he did to Eve. It's what he does to us. He'll say something like this: will God help you out of this? Again, look to the cross and answer the question: devil, if God will do that for me, I'm pretty sure He's going to help me make it through another day. Amen. Amen. If God will do that for me, to be sure He can heal my body. If God will do that for me, to be sure He'll give me encouragement to make it another day. See, this is an undeniable truth in this verse. God will freely give us all things. Now, this isn't talking about just a new car and a new house, but what He is talking about when He says all things, it's letting us know that God, there is no limits to His generosity in order to help me make it through. God will give me everything that I need in my hour of temptation, in the battle to make it through. He will freely give us all things. Again, if God's given me His Son, I think He'll help me a little bit more in life, don't you? Amen. If God will not, He will not forsake you because He's already showed you through the cross. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Isn't it good to be justified by faith? Boy, I know we have these common doctrines. We're so accommodated to them. You know, I've been saved for so many years, and I've been forgiven for so many years. But right here, the question is this: who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? How many knows that devil is the accuser of the brethren? How many knows he likes to remind you of your failures? How many knows he likes to remind you of your past? He likes to remind you of why you are not worthy. And even at times, in your own flesh, you try to remind yourself, I don't deserve this. And guess what? You don't. And you never could have deserved this. It is the mercy and the grace of God. It is God that justifieth. Amen. I don't know how many's gotten saved right here in this church over the years, but Brother Glenn didn't justify you. I didn't justify you. It wasn't a deacon that justified you. It was the God in heaven that justified. He is the one that we look to as the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one. You got to get your eyes off man. You got to shut your ears to the voice of the adversary, and you got to get your eyes on the new covenant and realize this: there's a God in heaven that is a good God, that justified, that forgave me, that made me worthy, that canceled my account. And I come to church and look, I'm not saying you're never tempted. I'm not saying it's impossible for you to fall. You ought not fall and you shouldn't fall. But if you do fall, you got an advocate with the Father. There's one that's pleading your case. There's one that justified you. And it's good to know tonight that we can be justified by faith. Amen. Here recently, I had to do a little reading in school, refreshing our minds about the great Reformation over there and Martin Luther. and what it meant for him, raised in Catholicism, and he's a German monk, and he's wrapped up in all these things, what it meant to him to come across those verses, that you could be justified by faith. You didn't have to go to the priest. You didn't have to go to a man. You could go to God himself. Why? He is the one that justifies. You remember that story in Zechariah chapter 3. We've preached on it here. When you got Joshua the high priest standing there before, and you had the angel of the Lord, and you got the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ, and you also got Satan there, and Joshua is sitting there clothed in filthy rags, soiled garments there. He's the priest. He's standing there in solidarity as he represents the rest of Jerusalem and the rest of Israel. He is the one that's to go into the holies of holies. And here you have the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. He's standing there and he's looking at Joshua and he's pointing out how filthy he is. He's pointing out how dirty he is. You ever had the enemy do that to you before? Amen. You almost feel dirty and unclean before a thrice holy God. And I like what the Bible says. As the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand that was plucked out of the fire? I'm going to stop right there. He says, look, I know he's kind of charred up. I know he's been burned up. He was in the fire. He was in the fire of sin. He was in the fire of death, hell, and the grave, if you would. He's been charred and he's been marred. But I plucked him out of the fire. And he answered and spake unto them that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. You know what happened when you got born again? That old dirty life you lived, he took it away. Amen. You needed to be made clean and made new. You needed a righteousness that was outside of yourself. He says, take those filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. And I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I was, and he said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with new garments. What I like about that chapter and those verses, and I know we've preached on it before, the devil had to watch it the whole entire time. The devil knows it doesn't seem fair. He knows it doesn't seem right. He knows that Joshua the high priest here doesn't deserve this. He doesn't deserve this. He's standing there, and the devil's having to watch this man who has these dirty robes and garment representing Israel, and the devil has to sit there, maybe mouth wide open, looking and saying, I can't, this just isn't right. He's going to take those dirty clothes from him and going to give him brand new clothes. He doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve that. And neither did you, and neither do I. But that's the mercy of God. He is the one that justifies us. He is the one that makes us new. Yeah. People say God's not fair all the time. And I read this before, and I've said this to somebody a few times. You're 100% right. God's not fair. And they often give you a bewildered look. The reason God ain't fair, because if he was fair, I'd been in hell a long time ago. If God was fair, he wouldn't have sent his only begotten son to a cross. That's not fair. Right? I'm glad he's not fair. Because if he was fair in that sense, and you're following what I'm saying, I'm using a play on words. If he was fair in that sense, I wouldn't be here tonight, and neither would you. I know for a fact if God was fair, I wouldn't be preaching this gospel. I know for a fact if God was fair, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. Why? Because I don't deserve grace and mercy. It is a gift from God. It is God that justifies. And again, I like to see the devil made speechless at God's mercy and grace. I love to hear the testimonies of what God's done for men and women. Just this morning, there at Landmark Tabernacle, there was a young lady, I don't know how old she is, maybe about my age, a little bit younger. And she stood up and testified this morning at touched my heart. She said, look, I wasn't raised in church like some of you. She said, I didn't know anybody that knew anything about the Bible. She said, I forget how old she was when she stated it. She said she got to a place, she was hopeless. She didn't know where to find any hope. And she said, you know what? I came to this conclusion. I don't need to live. And she said, I tried to kill myself. She said, I'm so glad I failed. I'm so glad it didn't go through. Why? She said, because I still didn't know nobody at that moment who knew anything about the Bible or anything about God to explain it to me. She said, but somebody explained the gospel to me. And she said, I realized something, that even I, who wasn't raised in church, even I, who had done horrible things, even I, who have tried to kill myself, can be made new in Christ Jesus. And I'm glad to know here tonight, Abundant Life, there's some horrible situations out there. There's people raised in horrible with backgrounds and things that we don't even understand. And if they were to walk through those doors and tell you their story, you would weep and sob. But guess what? God can take them and justify them and make them new here tonight. He goes on to say, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that raised from the dead. But notice this, who is at the right hand of God and also maketh intercession for us. I'm getting to the more than a conquerors in just a moment, because we like to quote that verse all the time. I'm more than a conqueror. You know, high schoolers about to run a race. I'm more than a conqueror. About to play a football game. I'm more than a conqueror. Ain't got nothing to do with it. Why are you more than a conqueror? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Why are you more than a conqueror? Because it's God that justifieth. Why are you more than a conqueror? Because there's one that came. There's one that lived a perfect life. There's one that died on a cross. There's one that rose from the dead. There's one that's at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for you and I. The reason you're more than a conqueror is because Jesus Christ is active in your life. Look, I find this amazing about this intercessory prayer. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and he maketh intercession with groanings that cannot even be uttered. But also there's one in heaven, the Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead. And guess what? He maketh intercession for us. We cannot fail if we trust in him. We cannot fail when we look to him. Why? He's on our side. He justifieth. And guess what? He maketh intercession for you and I. Amen. Jesus would say, Peter, listen. Simon, listen. The devil has been asking about you. He wants to sift you like wheat. But what is he going to say? But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. Some translations say that your faith will not utterly fail. Peter, you are a bold, big mouth man. Yeah, he's tough. He's a rough guy, you know. I wouldn't deny you, Lord. Might be some of these other guys. It wouldn't be me. Lord, we'll die with you. Jesus gets arrested. They scatter like roaches when the light's turned on. Kind of follows afar off. Standing by that fire, aren't you one of those guys? What? I don't know him. Doesn't take long, does it? The enemy's tempting this Peter. We know he denies him 3 times. The rooster's going to crow. I like after the resurrection, Jesus says, look, go tell the disciples and Peter. And we even know there, according to 1 Corinthians, that Jesus showed himself to Peter, to Cephas. Why did Peter make it through? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus prayed for him. And I find that humbling. I would be amazed if I was Peter and get to see Christ in the flesh look at me and say, Derek, I want to let you know I'm praying for you. Look, you can tell me you're praying for me and it does a lot for my heart. Be honest. Every now and then, you know, God will lay me on somebody's heart, or maybe somebody in the church will text me and say, Brother Derek, I'm praying for you today, and I'm not begging for them. I'm just saying, sometimes they come, and it's in the right season, and it means so much to me. Imagine having the Son of God look at you and say, Amy, I'm praying for you. Whew. Imagine that. Brother James, I'm praying for you. Jesus from his own lips. How many would say that'd be a wonderful experience for Peter? But can I tell you right now, according to the Scriptures, Jesus Christ is looking down at us and he says, you know what? I'm praying for you. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. I struggle sometimes, Brother Glenn, to have a little prayer list and pray for enough people. But I find it amazing that Jesus can pray for Brother Lee. He can pray for Brother Glenn. He can pray for Brother Raleigh. He can pray for Sister Sharon. He can pray for Brother Tommy. He can pray for Sister V. He can pray for Brother Wayne. He can pray for Brother... I could go around the room. Brother P, I could go around the room. I ain't going to do it in way. Take the time. I'll let you know right now, he's not diminished. He doesn't get tired. He is glorified. He can balance it. He's praying for every single one of you in this room that your faith fail not. You may be tempted. You may go through a battle. You may have a tough week. You may have a struggle here and there. But I find joy here tonight. He prays for me. He prays for you. Won't you lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm glad I got a good high priest. I'm glad I got one at the right hand of the Father that intercedes for me, that my faith fail not. There may be seasons in your life you may feel weak, but he prays for us abundant life. He prays for us. Hallelujah. Some of you need to be encouraged tonight. This isn't your ability. This isn't your strength. There's one that's praying for us. Go ahead and let God have his way. Let God touch your heart here tonight. Let God strengthen you in this moment. Hallelujah. 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 Stand to your feet tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I believe God's going to encourage you here tonight in this service. I prayed for you. I prayed for you. That your faith fail not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Ghost, have your way. Have your way, dear Jesus. Aren't you glad you got a great high priest? Aren't you glad you got a high priest in heaven? That's all right. Let God touch you tonight. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. That's all right, church. Let him have his way here tonight. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Notice, church, right after it says, notice, right after it says that he's maketh intercession for us. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's he that justifieth. Amen. We got one at the right hand maketh intercession. How can we stand? Who can separate us from the love of God? And he goes on to say, nay, in all these things, we are made more than conquerors. Woo, hallelujah. Brother James, been serving God for a long time. How is he standing here? Because there's been intercession made on his behalf. He's more than a conqueror. This isn't talking about physical strength. This isn't talking about intellectual ability. This is talking about a dependency on a God that cannot fail. And if God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? We are made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's all right. Let God have His way. Let God minister to your hearts here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. That's right, church. I want you to hear this preacher here. You don't have to be up and down. You don't have to be up and down and in and out. You don't have to go from depression to a little bit of victory down to a depression. You don't have to go from discouragement to discouragement. But I believe God, through the help of the Holy Ghost and understanding that we are more than conquerors, we can go from faith to faith, victory to victory, joy to joy. Why? Not again because I can do it within myself, but because God is that faithful. God is that faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know God's touching some in this room. We'll be mindful to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But I believe on a Sunday night, I don't know how you came here tonight. I can't see every heart, but I believe here tonight you can leave here more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Do you believe that tonight, church? We can leave here being made more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. That's right. One more time out of your heart. Just ask God to have His way in the service. Ask God to have His way in the service. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? I think that's the key. Are you persuaded that if God be for you, who can be against you? Are you persuaded that nobody can bring any charge to God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Are you persuaded that He's at the right hand of the Father, maketh intercession? Are you persuaded? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you.